born. And then, of course, most importantly, the second part of that is talking about Christ being broken and spilled out for us. How about that? Amen? All right, let's take our Bibles and go to the book of John chapter 12 this evening. John chapter 12. And we're going to look at that simple thought, really take some of that this evening and really look at some things and what it means to be poured out completely for the cause of Christ. And we're looking at that story in particular that my wife sang about. We're going to read about it here in the Scripture, John chapter 12. And if you found your place, if you're able to stand, would you stand with us in reading of God's Word? We're going to read the first 9 verses here in John chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Verse number 2, there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Then he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Verse 7, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not. Always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he hath raised from the dead. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you again for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for what we've already heard tonight. Lord, the songs that's been sung, they've lifted and encouraged our hearts. And Father, we just ask you now if you'd help us, Lord, to focus on the Scripture. Lord, help us, Lord, to minimize distractions tonight and just focus on what you have in store for us tonight. Lord, I just pray that you give us wisdom, as it says in the Scripture, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And Lord, we need your help tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I wanted to share this with you this evening about David Livingstone, who is a Scottish missionary and explorer who spent 33 years in the heart of Africa. He endured much suffering as he labored to spread the gospel and open the continent to missionaries. The godly missionary once remarked, "People talk of the sacrifice I have made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice which is simply paid back as a small part of the great debt owing to our God, which we can never repay?" It is emphatically no sacrifice. Say rather, it is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, or danger now and then, with a foregoing of the common convenience and charities of this life, may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and the soul to shrink, but let this only be for a moment. All these things are nothing when compared with the glory which shall hereafter be revealed in and for us. I never made a sacrifice of this, ought we not talk, when we remember the great sacrifice which he made, who left his Father's throne on high to give himself for us. David Livingstone, the great missionary, did not consider the life that he gave back to the Lord an actual sacrifice, but a privilege. We're looking at that thought, or kind of taking that thought tonight, and looking on just this idea of pouring everything out for the cause of Christ. And really, if you were to summarize it, church, we're talking about having a greater commitment in our service to the Lord. I do believe that you could give your whole life or live your whole life totally surrendered to the Lord, made every available sacrifice, and still not be able to repay what Jesus did for us on Calvary. Amen? And so when we give anything back to the Lord, no matter how big the sacrifice or the perception of the sacrifice will be. Friend, it's never enough. I mean, let me remind you that the Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. The Bible says there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Us within our nature is not good according to the Scripture. In fact, it is sinful according to the Word of God. Society teaches us the opposite philosophy, in fact, that says that man is basically good, but the Bible, the truth says that actually we are basically bad, and I just mean bad. It's called a sinful nature. So whatever we give back to the Lord, friend, it is a true privilege. Understand that it is a privilege to serve God. It is a privilege to come to the house of God. It's a privilege to wake up every single day and have another day that we can honor the Lord with our lives. Now, we're looking at an interesting story here, and the timing of it is also interesting. As we read there in verse 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. He was invited to this dinner, most likely by what we read in the context of Scripture, to celebrate the resurrection of Lazarus. And it was common probably to celebrate or to show gratitude or thankfulness to someone when they had done something of such magnitude as the Lord had done. And of course, there's two interesting observations. One, understand that it is noted of the time, and this is the final week of Jesus' life here on earth. Now, I don't know about you, but me personally, if I thought that I had a week left, I probably wouldn't go out to supper in a lot of places and a lot of people's homes. My nature, my being would probably really want to do two things, spend as much time with my family and then knock as many doors as I possibly can. Honestly, that's what I would feel. Tell us, hey, I've got 6 days to live. Let me tell you about Jesus, amen, and take my family with me so that way I'm spending time. I don't know that I'd be spending a lot of time sitting down and fellowshipping, sitting down and eating, but yet Jesus still went. Jesus made an appointment or made a point to still be there and accept the invitation there. The other thing I always think about when we're talking about Lazarus, and I love the idea of what, of course, not just, well, he literally resurrected him. Understand that, okay? This was not, well, he was in a coma and Jesus prayed over him, or, you know, he was near death. No, he was actually dead, okay? He had been dead for 3 days, okay? Just to make that clear, make that understanding, there was no question what Jesus had done. And somebody one time said that he had to specifically call Lazarus' name out, otherwise everyone from the dead would have woke up because Jesus has so much power, he could have raised everyone up from the dead should he have wanted to, but he specifically said, Lazarus, come forth, amen? So just a couple of thoughts as we're getting into the message tonight that maybe will encourage you about who Jesus is and how great Jesus really is. What it means to pour out everything to the Lord, to give everything that we have, understand, number one tonight, that you are going to have a heart of gratitude. You're going to have a heart of gratitude and say, Pastor, you've really been talking a lot about gratitude and thankfulness lately. It's because it's essential, because it's important more than just one time a year. Amen? Right. Now, most places, as we said the other day, 88% of homes pay turkey for Thanksgiving dinner, but I highly doubt that 88% of homes actually took time to thank God for the meal that He has provided for them. 88% of homes probably weren't in church this morning, right? 88% of people probably weren't in church Wednesday night. They were busy doing other things, and I get that, understand that. But what I'm saying is that how about we not be part of the nine where Jesus questioned about? We briefly touched on that last week. Let's be part of the minority that is willing to show gratitude in everything that we do. You see, friend, an unthankful heart leads to many other problems. It leads to selfishness. It leads to grumbling and complaining. It leads to, I personally believe, it leads to pride. When you think, well, I'm unthankful, it means I'm complaining. So we start to get this belief that we deserve more than we really have. When we have to bring it back down to earth and understand that God has been merciful to us, meaning that He withheld that which we deserved. And what did we deserve, church? A place in hell. That's what we deserve. That's just a fact. That's a reality. But then it also helped us to be thankful for His grace and that we received the gift of salvation and we didn't do a thing in the world to earn it. So if you notice here, they had this supper in gratitude for the Lord. They were thanking God for what He has done. This meal was really in honor of Jesus. So this was a meal of gratitude. And so the first thing that I believe it's important for us to know as we look along this story here is that if you're going to pour everything out to the Lord, you're going to learn to truly be thankful for what God has blessed you with. You're not going to be able to give everything you have to the Lord. You're not going to be able to commit your whole life and your heart to God if we don't have a thankful heart. So what this dinner means tonight, church, it was symbolic of simply saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. Amen? So number one tonight, as we look at this idea of pouring everything out to Christ or giving everything we have to the Lord, number one, we got to have a heart of gratitude. Number two, we're going to need a life of service. A life of service. If you look there in verse number two, there they made him a supper, and Martha served. And Martha served, right? Not only did they do this in his honor to express their gratitude, but the Bible says that Martha served. You know what we need more than anything else today? We just need servants. We need servants of God. And oftentimes people come to the house of God and they either want or desire or expect a title, when really the title that we should desire is just simply to be a servant. In fact, Jesus said that the greatest among you is the greatest servant of all. In other words, he who serves the most is the best among you. If you really want to stand high in the kingdom of God, have a servant's heart. Amen. You know what I've come to find out, friend, is that leaders or people who desire or eventually become leaders, they didn't set out to necessarily be a leader. They set out to make a difference. That ought to be our desire, friend. When you're a servant, you make a difference. This is another occasion, the second occasion that we see that Martha was serving. In another occasion, she was so busy serving, she forgot to spend time at the feet of Jesus to learn from Him and to worship Him. But I will give Martha one thing. She was always busy serving Jesus. Amen. She may not have had everything else right. She may have had some things that she needed to work on. And for the record, you may have a few things right in your life, but you've also got a lot you need to work on too. Amen. I've got a lot I need to work on. I need a lot of help. Amen. Hey, say, well, Pastor, I'm praying for you. Praise God. I need the prayer. You need the practice. I need prayer. Amen. I need a lot of help. Well, that part where it says, if any man lack wisdom, that's me. I need the wisdom of God. But I will give Martha that. She was always busy serving Jesus. You know, at the end of life, of course, you have the eulogy that's given and a few things that are said about you. I wonder, dear friend, would be able to say, you know what, I know they did this and did that, but they were always serving the Lord. They were always serving Jesus. No matter what they did or where they went, they were always serving God. What I'm trying to say tonight, friend, if you want to be broken and spilled out for the cause of Christ, first of all, you're going to have a thankful heart. The second of all is you're going to have to dedicate yourself to a life of service. And I'm glad that it says there that Martha served. The third thing I believe it's important as we read on here, in verse number 3 it says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, a very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Understand that Mary made a great sacrifice to what we would call. But again, from her perspective, I believe she saw this as a privilege to make this sacrifice for the Lord. Now, to help understand the significance of what she just did, let me read to you an excerpt here from a commentary. Mary's gift was remarkably extreme. She used a pound of a very costly oil of spikenard. Spices and ointments were often used as an investment because they were small, portable, and could easily be sold. It is believed that this oil was worth 300 denarii, which was about approximately a year's wages for the average working man. So do you realize that what she just gave to Jesus, what she just broke and spilled out, this ointment or perfume that she washed Jesus' feet with, The value of it was approximately an average man's year's salary. What's the average salary today? $35,000, $40,000? Is that about right? Somewhere in there. Can you imagine going to the feet of Jesus and pouring out this perfume on Jesus' feet to use it to wash the feet of Christ and literally pouring down $35,000, $40,000 in order to perform this gesture to show Jesus what he means to you? No, it was no doubt that she received criticism. It was no doubt that there was skeptics as to why she did this. But what we are pointing out, friend, she literally poured out everything that she owned for the cause of Christ. She gave everything monetarily speaking wise, as far as we can tell, or at least a huge part of it, just for Jesus. Just because she wanted to show Jesus how much she loved him. Because she wanted to show Jesus how much she appreciated him. Now we're living in a day where we struggle to get people to sacrifice one-tenth of what God has given them back to the Lord. Amen? And oftentimes we hear people say, well, you know, Pastor, I can't really afford to do that. But you know, it's interesting. The two things that I have found out. Now, understand it's a Sunday night church, amen. You're faithful. We're trying to help you grow in the Lord, right? We're trying to help you to develop a greater commitment to God. But two things I've come to find out, that people will make time for what's important to them, and they will invest in what is important to them. Are you with me? Because a lot of times the same folks that say, well, Pastor, I couldn't afford to do that, have about a $200 cable bill or internet bill or the latest, where's that thing at? This thing here, I mean, there's just no, hold that one up, Miss Liz. You got a big one. Look at that one. Glory to God, son. You know these things, and I'm not going to get around and start asking how much these things cost because you know. I've got one too. That thing's paid off. I don't want to know. It's cracked. It's got a few bug issues, but you know what? I'm just not interested in paying another $1,500 for a phone. When that thing goes completely kapooey and you guys can't get a hold of me, then I'll think about going to get another phone. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Y'all get it that after a while, amen? But what I'm trying to say, friend, is that oftentimes the same people say, Pastor, I can't make that kind of sacrifice to the Lord. When they're spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars on the things. Now, is that kind of phone really going to make a difference for me in all of eternity? Are you with me, church? Oh, but you see, when we're talking about a sacrifice to the Lord, again, I'm trying to change our way of thinking. We know that it is a sacrifice, but I'm just trying to change our perspective that it's a privilege. When we're able to look at sacrifices as privileges, friend, now we're starting to be broken and spilled out for the glory of God. Now we're starting to pour everything that we have out to the Lord and giving it to the Lord and saying, Lord, that really wasn't a big sacrifice. It's a privilege to give that. It's a joy to give to the Lord. It's a joy to spend time in the house of God. It's a joy to labor and to clean up God's house. And it's a joy to serve people and try to give them something that they need. It's a joy to share the gospel with people. Lord, that's not a sacrifice, that's a privilege. And you see, friend, now we're talking about being broken and spilled out for the cause of Christ. Now we're talking about pouring out everything that we have. And don't just attain that, friends, to just financial things. I'm talking about of yourself. I'm talking about of your time. I'm talking about of your soul and your heart, of what God really wants out of us. All I'm saying, friend, if you're going to pour out everything for the cause of Christ, if you are going to arrive at that deeper commitment for the Lord, you're going to have a heart of gratitude. You're going to have to live a life of service. And what we're looking at here, friend, you're going to have to start looking at sacrifices as privileges. Sacrifices will become privileges. The other thing that I believe that we picture here, not only did she make this privilege, right? Stay with me. Not only did she give this privilege to the Lord, but did you see that it says that she wiped her feet, wiped his feet with her hair? You do understand that that kind of job was for the lowliest of people. in that day, in that time. And then it was even more of a picture of humility to take your own hair, for a Jewish woman to lower her hair to even be seen in order to wash the feet of Christ. Now, I want to say something else about Mary. We said something about Martha. Every time we find Martha, she was serving. She at least was serving Jesus. Amen. I mean, she might not have been doing other things, but she was serving Jesus. You know where we find Mary oftentimes? This is the third time in the Scriptures that we see Mary at the feet of Jesus. The third time. The first time, do you remember, was also with Martha, when Martha was serving a meal and Mary hung out at Jesus' feet to learn and to worship Christ. The second time was in the previous chapter when she fell to the feet of Jesus over the concern of Lazarus' death. Here's the third occasion of Mary spending time at the feet of Jesus to give probably the biggest thing that she had for the privilege of making this sacrifice to Jesus. Spending time at the feet of Jesus was also a picture of humility. And that's the fourth thought that we have tonight, friend. We're talking about a heart of gratitude. We're talking about a life of service. We're talking about moving from sacrifice to privilege. But then we're talking about a spirit of humility. You know the other critical reason, church, why we're going to have to obtain or have this spirit of humility? Because if we don't have this spirit of humility, we start to think it's about us and not about the Lord. We start to think that when God blesses, that we have done something for that, instead of realizing that it's only by the grace of God. Instead of realizing that every good gift cometh from above. Instead of remembering, like the Apostle Paul, even though I believe that God greatly blessed the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul, but you know what he said? He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Friend, if you're going to pour everything out for Jesus, if you're going to give everything that you have for God, you're going to have a spirit of humility. Now, if you would sit there and say, well, Pastor, I believe that I'm humble, we got a problem. Because I don't believe, personally, that humble people realize that they're humble. That's just me. I believe that humble people constantly think I'm a prideful person and I need to keep this thing in check. I have a heart of pride. I battle with pride. And friend, we could talk about all the areas where pride affects our lives and how decisions that we make as a result of pride. Friend, I'm here to tell you today we all have problems with pride. And when we think we're not prideful, then we have become the opposite of the spirit of humility. Here, this was a picture of her humility when she would lower her hair and use her own hair to wipe down the feet of Christ. We're talking about a deeper commitment for the Lord. A deeper commitment to Christ requires a heart of gratitude, a life of service, moving from sacrifice to privilege, a spirit of humility. And number five tonight, it's an acceptance of a surrendered life. Not just a life of service, but a surrendered life. I want you to notice a couple of things as we read on here. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot. How many of you ever heard of that character before? There he is. Simon's son, which what? Should betray him. Why? Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Seemed like the only two times that we see Judas get in trouble was over money. Here, he's really showing a picture of his attitude. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And we don't necessarily see a lot out of Judas, but when he does speak, it's seems to be about money. Here he's concerned about, why would you do that, Mary? Oh, we could have sold that and given it to the poor. The other occasion, of course, was when he betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Again, for money. But here he seems to be concerned about the value or the sacrifice. See, he's thinking about only sacrifice. He doesn't think about the privilege or the humility and all these other things given to the Lord. He's only thinking about the money that was, in his mind, lost. You know what he's saying, church? Why would you waste that on Jesus' feet? Oh, there was a lot of other things that we could have done with that. But you know, I find the writer here interesting when he says, verse 6, this he said, not that he cared for the poor. He didn't really care about the poor. He wasn't really concerned about the needy, but because he was a thief and he had the bag and bear what was put therein. See, Judas had him a bag, and in that bag, of course, I believe was symbolic of his personal greed. You know what I've come to find out, friend? You're not going to be broken and spilled out if you carry around all kinds of baggage. And there's some of us today that are carrying around a bag, and maybe we're not thieves. Maybe this isn't our sin. Maybe it's not this one, but we have other kind of bags in our lives, other kind of baggage. Yet the Bible says to lay aside the weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, I'm going to share something with you. It's a fact. I'm not intending to be humorous, but it's just a fact. I've gotten back into trying to be running. And understand, church, the biggest reason I do that, it's healthy for me. Okay? I do have a personal conviction to take care of what God has given me. I'm telling you that wholeheartedly. I'm trying to do the best that I can to serve you in the best possible way. And I'm just telling you, I can serve you better by being healthier. Okay? So that's the biggest reason, is because I want to take care. That's just the way. If you do boxing, or if you look, whatever you do, however you take care of your body, and that's fine. I'm just telling you that's what I do. I'm not telling you have to do that. But what has been a hindrance to me is simply extra weight. I mean, that is probably a runner's worst enemy. It's harder on your knees. It's harder on your back. Last week, I ended up coming in here. I keep saying psychotic. It's not psychotic. Sciatic nerve. My wife said I had it right the first time. But I came in here with I was struggling, honestly. Just I had done that long 8-miler. And, you know, when you're as a little hefty as me, pounding your feet on concrete for 8 miles, understand the average stride is 2,000 steps per mile. So that's 16,000 steps on concrete. It wears you down. So it's an enemy. All I'm trying to say is that at the moment, it's a hindrance. Doesn't mean I'm going to quit. Doesn't mean I'm going to stop. I'm just telling you it's an extra challenge. And I'm just telling you that spiritually speaking, when you carry around extra baggage, it's a hindrance. You're not going to be able to run the race that God has called you to be in. I mean, that's literally what it says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Lay aside the weight and the sin, because it's a hindrance to your service to the Lord. You're not going to be able to be broken and spilled out. You're not going to be able to pour everything out for the cause of Christ if you're carrying around extra baggage. And yet Judas, he couldn't really recognize the privilege of what Mary was doing because he was carrying around baggage. The Bible says he had a bag. Bear what was therein. He didn't really care for the poor. The writer of the gospel there recognized it wasn't about the poor. You know what I've come to find out is that oftentimes when people grumble and complain, they'll say it's for this. But really, that's just a distraction. It's actually about themselves. Are you with me? And you know what I've come to find out? This doesn't sound pretty, but sometimes they're Judas. Huh? Sometimes they're Judas. It's sad, but unfortunately, it's part of it. But what I'm telling you, getting back to our thought, the acceptance of a surrendered life, because I believe that Mary made a decision for her sacrifice to be a privilege, that she did this with joy. She did this because she wanted to honor God. She did this because she wanted to be broken and spilled out, not just literally, but spiritually speaking, for the cause of Christ. And she accepted her life of complete surrender to God, despite what the skeptics would say. That's why I make that point, church, is that you're going to have to live a life of acceptance of a surrendered life. Not just a life of service, but because when you completely surrender, you've got the place where you realize it doesn't matter what people say. I'm surrendered to Jesus. I'm surrendered to Christ. And it doesn't matter what the skeptics say. It doesn't matter what the critics say. It doesn't matter whether they think that we can accomplish this for the cause of Christ or not. I've surrendered to the Lord, and I'm just going to leave it in the Lord's hands, and I'm going to serve God anyway. That's what a surrendered life does. But you see, if Mary wasn't very surrendered, she might have gone back on her decision and said, oh boy, you know, Judas, I didn't think about that. I just poured $35,000 and wasted it on Jesus' feet. What was I thinking? No, she had the privilege to make this sacrifice, and she didn't go back on her decision because she was living a surrendered life. Didn't matter what Judas thought. I'm just telling you this, church, as a word of caution, because people don't understand why you're faithful to the house of God. People don't understand why you want to come on early on Sunday morning and come to Sunday school, and then church, and then Sunday night again, and then Wednesday night again, and then for a special service, and then for whatever other event that the Lord opens up our doors here. They don't understand that kind of stuff. But you know, when you live a surrendered life, it doesn't really matter what they think. It doesn't matter. Friend, don't take this wrong, but people tell me all the time, I couldn't do what you do. And the truth of the matter is I can't either. Because I do it with God's help. There's no way that I could do what I do, friend. We try to do our best to work a full-time job. We try to do our best. And for the record, technically, I'm a bivocational pastor, but I don't believe in part-time pastors because I don't know of a time when you're not on call. I don't know of a time when you're not there to serve. There's not a time that I would say, well, you know what, this isn't my pastor time, so I'm not going to stop and pray for your family who's sick right now. That's just not something that I'm going to do. So you're always in that life of service. So the reality is I can't do what I do. It's only by the grace of God that I do what I do. It's only because the Bible says I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen? It's only by the help of God, by the strength of God, because, church, I don't have it. I wake up every single day and say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I need your help. That's the only way we get through, friend. That's called living a life. It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter whether they understand it or not. Friend, I'll just be honest with you. I've still got family to this day, loved ones, that don't understand everything that we do, what we do. But when you live a surrendered life, friend, you follow. It doesn't mean that you're mean and ugly spirited about it. You just go on and serve God anyway. And that's what Mary did. She didn't go back and question her decision. An acceptance of a surrendered life. Number six tonight, what I like here, when you pour everything out for the cause of Christ, we've seen that the skeptics arose here. Judas was criticizing her or questioning the decision, at least, at very least, that Mary had done. And then in verse number 7, then said Jesus. First of all, this isn't really part of the message tonight, but the best way to respond to a critic or a skeptic is to not. Are you with me? The best way to respond is to let Jesus respond for you. She didn't stand up and say, you know what, Judas, let me put you in your place, buddy. You know what, Judas? You're just so far away from the Lord. I know he's sitting right there, but you're so far away from God, spiritually speaking, you wouldn't think about making such a... She didn't do that. I believe it was another testament to humility. She just sat back and accepted her surrendered life and let Jesus speak up for her, and he did. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Jesus came to her defense. Friend, this thought really carries on to the next thought. When you live that surrendered life, you'll find that you have divine protection. You will have divine protection. And there's no greater way, friends, to answer than just let the Lord answer for you. Let God bless anyway. Oh, I don't believe that's going to work. And then God blesses. Wow. Critics are all of a sudden silent. Critics all of a sudden. When Jesus responded, maybe I missed something here, but after Jesus responded, I don't see that Judas had any comeback after Jesus spoke up. What else could he say? You know, that's often what happens. You live that surrendered life. Let God bless you. Let God speak. Let what the Lord does speak for itself. Let God protect you. Critics will go away. There might be a new fresh batch of them. There might be a fresh crop of them. That happens. But you know, those particular ones, they become silent.
Then Jesus said that alone.
When you live that surrendered life, friend, I believe that you are blessed with divine protection. Let alone against the day of this burying had she kept this. Really all that Jesus was referencing, especially in that time, there was generally not anybody who questioned when somebody would make a great expense for a burying of a loved one. And Jesus literally knew, and I believe everybody knew, that his time was short. And really she was just in part paying an attribute to the Lord because of his upcoming death. So you could look at it as part of the funeral expenses. In fact, you see later on that they also came and adorned his body with spices and ointments again, with about approximately 100-pound weight. And it was custom that they would use half of approximately the body weight. So that would tell us that, just a little fact, Christ was probably approximately 200 pounds. They used 100-pound weight later on. You see that later on in the Gospels. But he said here, this day the burying, or excuse me, against the burying has she kept this. And then verse number 8, last thing we're going to look at. This is something else that Jesus said that we want to point out. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. You know what Jesus was saying to Judas, but also those that were in attendance, is that you have a unique opportunity to do something special for me. He said, the poor are going to always be around. There has been poor since the beginning of time. I'm not trying to minimize helping the poor, nor do I think that the Lord was either. What he was emphasizing is that you have in this moment a unique opportunity to do something for me. Now, friend, if you help in feeding the poor, or you help in food bank ministry, you serve another, that's great, but that's not your main objective. Your main objective is to honor the Lord. Your main objective is to pour it all out for the cause of Christ. That is a side effect. That is a particular calling. That is a particular method of service that you do, and that's great, and I think it's wonderful. All I'm telling you is that the main purpose is to honor Christ. The main purpose is to serve the Lord. The main purpose is a surrendered life to Jesus. And it doesn't really matter what area he has called you to serve in, because when you have a surrendered life, you're just happy to do whatever it is the Lord wants you to do. So you see, Fred, I'm just here to remind you that if you're going to be broken and spilled out for the cause of Christ, you have to understand that we have a unique opportunity today to do something special for the cause of Christ. Do you know why many people don't do great things for the Lord? Because they minimize the idea of small things for the Lord. Do you realize the people who do great things for God just do a lot of small things for the Lord? It's an accumulation of a life of small things. Christians who make a difference in the lives of people, it is a constant example of thing after thing after thing, a bunch of small things, things that seem insignificant. But many times people get this idea, well, if I can't be on the platform, if I can't sing, if I can't teach, then I'm not doing anything great for God. Don't buy into that lie of the devil, friend. I may have a different calling than you, but it doesn't minimize the calling that God has put on your life. The most high calling for your life is to fulfill whatever it is the Lord has called you to do, and that in itself, your friend, is a unique privilege to do something special for God, because that's what he's called you to do. God has placed a calling upon my life. My duty and responsibility is to fulfill that calling for my life. Your duty and responsibility is to fulfill the calling that he has placed upon you, whatever it may be. So don't buy into this idea, well, all I do is clean, or all I do is hand out a food box. And don't believe the lie that it's insignificant. Because great Christians do a lot of small things on a daily basis and develop a life of great things for the glory of God. Do you remember when we said leaders don't necessarily set out to be leaders? They set out to be make a difference, and they become leaders. You see, friend, if you want to live a life broken and spilled out, poured out for the cause of Christ, you're going to have a heart of gratitude. You're going to have to live a life of service. You're going to have to change our way of thinking from sacrifice to privilege. You're going to have a spirit of humility. You're going to have an acceptance of a surrendered life, which brings you divine protection. And understand that we have today a unique opportunity. A unique opportunity to do something special for the cause of Christ. I'm going to ask my wife to come, or the pianist to come. I remember hearing a story, and maybe I might have shared this with some of you before, but if not, it's all right. You know, the Bible says in Jude 22, and some having compassion, making a difference. There was a story about all these starfish on the beach. Just hundreds and thousands of starfish, and no way that they could all be rescued and tossed back into the ocean in time to save them. A man was walking up on this beach and seeing all these hundreds and thousands of starfish on the beach, and the sun was starting to come up, it was starting to get hot, and pretty soon most of those starfish would perish. But off in the distance was a young lady grabbing a starfish and tossing it back into the ocean. Then she'd reach down and pick up another one and toss it back into the ocean. And she just kept doing this over and over again. The young man chuckled to himself, or the man chuckled to himself, and came up to that young lady and said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I got to get these starfish back in the ocean before the sun comes up and they die. They get scorched to death." And he laughed. He said, "Honey, don't you realize that you look at the thousands, hundreds and thousands of starfish. You can't possibly make a difference." And then she reached down and picked up another starfish and tossed it back in the ocean and said, "I made a difference with that one." And then she picked up another one and said, "I made a difference with that one." You see, friend, make a difference where you can. Don't be afraid to do the small things, because those are unique opportunities to bring glory to Christ. Let's all stand to our feet. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our great concern tonight is for you to have a deeper commitment for the cause of Christ. Not for anyone else, not for any single person, but simply for the cause of Christ. How many of you tonight would be willing, broken and spilled out for His glory, to literally give everything you have for the cause of Christ? Willing to live a surrendered life and say, "Jesus, I'll happily give you everything that I got. Give you all my, Lord, if you want all my finances, everything, it's yours. If you want my heart, it's yours. If you want my time, it's yours. If you want my energy, everything that you've given me, Lord, it's yours." Now we're talking about being broken and spilled out. Now we're talking about living a surrendered life for the cause of Christ. And friend, you don't even think of it as a life of sacrifice. You think of it as a life of joy and privilege to give back just a little bit back to our Redeemer, back to our Savior who paid our life's debt that we could not pay. What a joy. What a unique opportunity. Jesus reminded them that, "Hey, you can only have me for a short time. Don't you realize, friend, that our time on earth is short? The Bible teaches us that our life is but a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow. We have just a short time, a short opportunity to do something special for Jesus' sake, for the cause of Christ." And maybe tonight, friend, I don't know what your need is. If you're here tonight and never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I'm just going to invite you to come forward and let us take a Bible, let someone take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. I realize that tonight, primarily the goal was targeted to Christians to have a deeper commitment for Him. But friend, you can't grow in your commitment until you made a commitment, until you've made an acceptance of who Jesus is. And if that's you tonight, friend, would you come? We'll have somebody meet you down here at the altar and take a Bible. Take a Bible, friend, and show you from the Word of God. Listen, I can't save you. Nobody in this church can save you. We just show you the one who can. That's all we do. We just point you to the one who can. Would you allow us that privilege tonight? If you're here tonight, say, Pastor, God spoke to my heart tonight. I want to be broken and spilled out for the cause of Christ. Would you pray for me? I want to live a surrendered life. I want to live a surrendered life. Would you pray for me? I'm going to go to God in prayer. Then I'm going to ask Connor to come back and sing that song, I Surrender All, here in just a moment. Get that ready. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness, for Your grace. And thank You, Lord, for this church. Thank You, Lord, for the message that we've seen in the Scriptures, Lord, of Mary who was broken and spilled out for Your glory. Lord, I believe that she looked at that as a privilege, not a sacrifice, but a joy and an opportunity, Lord, to honor You with her life. Father, several lifted their hands tonight, desiring to be broken and spilled out for Your glory. Father, You know who they are. You know the sincerity of their hearts, and I pray that You'd help them to do that. Help us to develop a deeper, closer commitment to You for Your glory. Father, we thank You for all those. Thank You for all those in attendance tonight. Thank You for what You've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Connor, why don't we dismiss with this song that we've been singing as our theme. I believe it's a good song to end the service with tonight.
If you will turn to page...
I Surrender All. Why don't you come and lead that song?
If you will turn to page 153, I Surrender All. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. On the last. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Let's sing that last chorus a cappella. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.